The Lord is with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And we ask God to bless our minds and our lips and our hearts and lives, that when we hear from the Bible, it doesn't go in and out another ear, but it settles in our spirit and it transforms the world. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain. And Jesus, after he had been there a while at the day of dawn, his disciples had come to him. And Jesus began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for you will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for you will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in the heavens." Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I speak all over the country at workshops, I always go to this scripture. It is the go-to Christian scripture. So for you as confirmandi, I hope and pray by the end of this seven-hour homily I'm going to give you, that you'll remember this scripture, Matthew 5. Can anyone give me a 5? Matthew 5. So Matthew 5 is what we just heard from the Bible. It's the Beatitudes. It's Jesus' vision for all of us. It is his response to the Ten Commandments. As a good Jewish rabbi, he knew the commandments well, and he knew the tradition well. And from that reflection, he said, "Hear what I have, O people of God." And Matthew 5 has to be complemented by Matthew 25. Can we do that together? Matthew 25. So when you go home, if you have a Bible around the house, dust it off, pull it out, put it next to your bed, and read Matthew 5. The first part of it is the Beatitude, and then it gets in some really gory details, which I'm sure you're going to be talking about in confirmation classes in the next few weeks. And Matthew 25 is Jesus' vision that when the end of the world comes, he's going to ask Father Chris, "How many confessions did you hear? How many masses did you attend?" Nope, he's going to ask me and you, "Did you visit the sick? Did you visit those in prison? Did you give a coat to those who were in need?" And we will be asked the question of the scripture, "Well, when did we do this?" And Jesus will say, "When you did it to the least, you did it for me." Now, I understand that some of you have filled out a form and you've turned it in. Is that true? Some of our confirmandi. What's on that form that you filled out? Did it give us your tag number, or did it give you your Instagram account, or what was on that paper? What did you have to put on the paper? Do you remember? It's right there. Okay, good. You got a good cheat sheet. Yeah. Jesus is pretty good with cheat sheets. As long as we get the answer.
One of the important things I've learned during this process.
Okay, what would be one of those things that you learned during the process?
That it's important to educate the younger people so they know.
So it's good to educate younger people? About what?
About all kinds of problems.
So problems, okay. Have you been learning about the Bible? And scripture in Jesus? Okay, and who's this? Your aunt, and she's your sponsor? Great. How many sponsors are in the room? We want to thank you for your presence for these young people, because you are that connection between us, the Universal Church, and that particular young person. What would be one of the things you, I think the second part of it said you're going to do something. Great. Thank you. This is all a test, so when the bishop comes, you'll have all these answers. And so spend some time between now and confirmation just reflecting and making sure that there's a connection between you and God. Good. Anyone else that would like to volunteer? What does this mean for you as sponsors, any sponsor? What does it mean for you to be asked by this young person, this relative or friend, someone that you know, to be a sponsor?
Set an example for them and be with them as part of this process.
Okay, be an example and be through the process. Does that mean you have to be a saint and perfect? No. So we're an example, even when we mess up, to be able to say, you know, I was late, or I did this wrong, and I'm sorry. So part of the process is just getting to know this other person that you've chosen. I work at a hospital where most of our baptisms, in fact, 99.9% of our baptisms, are babies, and very often they're very ill. Many of them survive, but there's a question at the time, so they want to. And how many of you were baptized when you were a small child? You might not have any memory other than the fact that it was videotaped, or there's pictures about that. And so as you approach confirmation, this is your moment to say, I know Mom and Dad loves me, because when I was a small child, they had me baptized. I know that my family loves me, because when I was a small child, not only did they feed me and take care of me, but they said that God was important, and they baptized you. But this is your moment now, as a young person, to say, what they said years ago for you is true for me, is true for you, that this person of Jesus is a powerful and gifted person, that this concept of a God that loves us is not just an abstract idea, but it's true for you and me, for each of us. This last week, I was visiting a woman that came in, and she was in tears, and I didn't know what the situation was, and she started talking about her 18-year-old son. Her son has been active with lots of things, and is finishing up high school in a couple months. And he revealed to her and the family in October that he's a transgender person, and he now has a new name, and he wants to be referred to by that name. And she's really struggling with the fact that he wants to wear lipstick and go to school as a woman. And the tears were abundant, and the love was intense. I asked what was happening at school, and she said, oh, they're cool. They're accepting all of these young people, wherever they are at. She was trying to find out what to say and do. She had gone to some other priest, and they had no idea what to say, and they said, well, just keep praying. So we had this long conversation, and she's going to come back for some more, and hopefully her daughter will come also. But part of those struggles, those wonders in our life, whether it be a high school person, confirmandi, that's deciding whether they should date someone or not, or go out to a prom with someone or not, whether you're deciding what sports you're involved with and what you're going to do after high school if you're a senior, those decisions of how am I going to practice this faith of mine in Jesus? Maybe my parents are from two different faiths, and I'm wondering, how am I going to deal with this at home, and how do I practice it in the context of that home situation? We are invited tonight, the scriptures invite us, the first reading, the second reading, very clearly say to us that God's vision is that all of us are welcomed, that all of us have a home here in this church we call the place of God. That when you take your confirmation, it's not only you saying yes to God, but sadly, but Honestly, it's more important. God is saying yes to you. God is saying, you've always been my child. You will always be my child. This woman this last week, she said, what do I say? And I said, this is your child, the one you conceived and bore and loved and took to movies and football game and played with the brother at home, and that's still your child. We are invited by the scriptures today to know that God always says, we have a home. God always welcomes us to this home. And Jesus gives us a vision for that home. I'm assuming that some of you at home have some restrictions, curfew hours, things you can do or say on internet, on your cell phones. Is that true? There's some kind of limitations of life. And there might be some struggles that come with that, you know, whether it's I'm on too long or where I go on those internets and all those other things. And Jesus gives us a vision in the gospel and the Beatitudes, and he says, these are the things that should guide our values as people of faith within the Christian Catholic community. So I invite you tonight, and especially for you sponsors between now and confirmation, to go out for an ice cream or water or a soda or whatever is appropriate, and sit down with Matthew 5, and just, what does this mean to you from a young person's perspective and from the sponsor's perspective? Jesus brings up 8 points. What does that mean to you to care for those who are mourning, for those who are struggling with peace and violence? What does it mean for you when someone says that they're really struggling with their identity or their future or what they're going to do in life? I just invite you to create that moment. I know it's not part of the official curriculum of the process, but I invite you to take one, probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the most. Take a walk, sit down at home or at some place, and have that conversation. Matthew 5, take out the Bible, Matthew 5, and if you're really daring, go to Matthew 25 and ask that question of yourselves, but also as you and your sponsor, what is my vision for what God wants for me to do? Now, another part of that paper invites you to also do some things that you're going to volunteer or be a part of things. Some of you have been doing that already. One of the gifts of this parish community of Holy Family is that in the back of the church all year long, they have this wonderful little thing called Ministries and Volunteering. And in the middle of that, it's a gazillion kind of things you can do. Visiting the rest home, visiting and helping kids in school. It has all these amazing groups that meet here because of their language or culture or background, whatever it might be. So I just really invite you to take this out and realize, wow, this place, Holy Family South Pass, says to all of these people, they have a home here. That no one is excluded, that all are welcome, whatever their background, whatever their differences might be. So I invite you to take that out. Now, the bulletin is equally important because it has some things that are happening in the next few weeks, but these things are going along all year long. So I invite you to look them over. Something that you might want to do, not only between now and confirmation, but hopefully if you like doing that kindness, you might even continue doing it afterwards. The scripture tonight says to you as confirmandi, preparing for confirmation, that God is always here for you, that God will never abandon you. This mother said to me, my child thinks that the church hates her. She has given up on God and the church. She said, what do I say to my child? I would say what the scripture has said to us tonight. We are all welcomed in this home we call church. We are always welcome back if we wander away, because this is home. This is a place where nothing can separate or divide us. Yes, there's opinions of people here and there that make some distinctions, and sometimes that's been painful and hurtful. And we know about those moments in history, whether it be the Crusades or the Inquisition or the latest reality of sexual inappropriateness among clergy and others. Those are all historical barriers. But in all of those moments, and in all the great moments of our history, when we started hospitals and schools and created systems of caring for those who are elderly, when we helped form the public school system in this country at a time where we were unwelcomed and we were considered papist because we were connected to Rome. In our history, we have some difficult moments in history, but we have some wonderful moments. And your confirmation says to the rest of us, we have wonderful things to look forward in the future, because you are the church. You are the future. So I'd like to conclude this reflection with a song. And your part in the song, I will raise my hand to, and it simply is A Place Called Home. So every time I come to that little phrase, I'll invite you to come in. A place called home, with constant comfort for the weary. A place called home, of nourishment and rest. A place called home, that welcomes in the stranger, where one unknown becomes a welcome guest, where love can find a human habitation. God grant us all this grace, a place called home. A place called home, where tenderness can flourish. A place called home, a haven from all harm. A place called home, where children sleep in safety, where hurts are healed, a shelter from the storm, where peace can find a human habitation. God grant us all this grace, a place called home. A place called home, a promise for tomorrow. A place called home, a vision handed down. A place called home for all God's sons and daughters, where love prevails and peace is ever found. Where hope can find a human habitation, God grant us this grace, a place called home. A place called home for every human being. A place called home, where arms are open wide. A place called home, where all extend the welcome, where none are lost, alone are cast aside, but members of a single human family. God grant us grace to build a place called home. Matthew 25. We always have a place here. The church calls it home. Let us stand as a people of common faith.